there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A new week and a good new week to you. I'm Patrick Maher here at the South Point and Michael Lombardi there in New Jersey. We say good morning, good afternoon actually there in Jersey. Michael, how are you?
You know, I'm good, Patrick. Will Hill said yesterday on the show the two greatest words in all of sports is Game 7. Man, it didn't feel like that, did it? Wow, what a letdown.
Yeah, a couple of blowouts. Of course, you had the Celtics 109-81 over the Bucks that closed five. And then I think the storyline coming into today is what happened with the Suns. I mean, you take a look, 123-90, it wasn't that close. So that is a 33-point differential there and a win.
When did you turn it off?
I kept going because of the just fascination, almost like a car wreck that you can't turn away from. It was so, and obviously social media blowing up. Has there ever been a bigger letdown as far as a performance? At one point, I think it was a 50-point game. This was, yeah, and we can put the Chris Paul stuff to rest, and we can, you know, a lot just transpired in the game with big names.
No doubt. I mean, look. I turned it off after the end of three quarters.
I can't blame you.
You know, I was done with it. I mean, you know, you scored 27 points in the first half, and once it was 40 going into the fourth, I figure there's just no way you can close that down. Even though Phoenix scored 40 points in the fourth, which killed the over, right? You know, it kind of got the over bettors happy. But I mean, this is a series I think of adjustments, right? When this started out, you know, Dallas was playing Paul, and then they were also kind of alternating Bullock on Paul, and then they had Finney Smith on Booker.
Yep.
And then they flipped that, and it really made all the difference in the world. And then I think when you really watch it closely, how Luka was able to defend the pick and roll, I think he was in 41 pick and rolls over the last three games, and it was averaged less than a point per possession. So his intensity defensively picked up, and look, they went right after. They went after Chris Paul relentlessly on the offensive end. They knew they could score. They knew they could get by him. And that's just a cold reality of, you know, a story that the world wants to have, this beautiful Chris Paul's going to end his life as this great, you know, player that leaves the league with a championship, and, you know, Father Time just said, not so fast.
Well, NBA,
this isn't what's going to happen.
Yeah, you said it, Michael. NBA Finals last year, best record in the NBA this year, looked unbeatable, specifically come out of the West. And now, after Luka patted Devin Booker on the head, essentially ended DeAndre Ayton's time there with the Phoenix Suns because he's up for an extension, and then put the Chris Paul greatness discussion to bed. That's really, he took care of all three of those perspectives. And now what happens with the Suns? Because the Suns aren't going to pay Ayton. They go into the tax, and Sarver will never do that. He's historically cheap, and he's going through his own drama. You know, Booker was completely outshined by Luka, and Paul just turned 37, and they're stuck with him for a couple of years. They extended him. This is a team that's all of a sudden has major question marks when they had none coming into the postseason. None.
You know, it's so true. And they dominated Dallas coming into the postseason. What, they were 11-0 against them.
Yep.
And they lost, you know, they couldn't close them out. I mean, look, this all goes back to the decision that they made years ago when they took Ayton over Luka. You know, Bill and I were just talking in the other room when we came in. Of course, it always comes back to Embiid because we live here. But would you trade Luka for Embiid? Of course you wouldn't.
Oh my
would
gosh.
You trade Giannis for me? When you start going through the list of players who you would trade even up, it gets, you know, you realize you put in perspective how great some of these guys are that we don't really talk about as great. Luka was great last night. I mean, Luka's a great player, and we said it on the show yesterday morning. The game's not going to be too big for Luka. You know, he'll rise to the challenge, and what he rose more than ever was his defensive mentality. And the fact that they were able to get that trade they made at Bertrands and Dinwiddie to get rid of Porzingis is really, you got to credit the Mavs front office for pulling that deal off.
Yeah, Dinwiddie off the bench, 30 points. And the Luka Embiid conversation really isn't one. What is Embiid? 29. He's a depreciating asset as a big. How about this, Michael? Luka's 23 years old. Okay, so in the postseason, against the Suns, averaged over 32 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. Last night, 35 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals in 30 minutes. He sat the entire fourth quarter. So it's a remarkable start to his career. The thought that he is just 23 years old and you have ideas floating around in your head of Marvin Bagley Jr. and of course, I mean, DeAndre
Ayton.
It's
really remarkable, right? I mean, I spent time in Phoenix after the book came out. I went out there, spent some time with James Jones, their general manager, in their front office, and they were discussing, and this is after they fired Ryan McDonough as the general manager, who ultimately made the pick. I was at the opening game of the year that year, and it was surprisingly Phoenix versus Dallas. Now, Phoenix was no good, but all I kept hearing was Luka can't shoot. Luka can't shoot. Luka can't shoot. He will never play well because he can't shoot. It was almost Simmons-ish type can't shoot, you know? And obviously he put that to rest, and he can do more than shoot. And what he's done the last three games, Patrick, is play great. I mean, he's played better defense.
He's tried on defense. You're 100% right.
Whereas, you know, look, Booker was struggling. And I think the guy that the role players for Dallas, don't get enough credit. Kiebler, he was plus 20 in 21 minutes of play last night. That you never really see it, right? Because he's so good defensively. And that guy it's going to be fun to watch. You know, I looked up, as we advanced the story forward, I looked up against Golden State, what's their record? You know, Dallas is 8-2. They were 3-1 in the regular season. But again, we've got to throw that off to the side as we move forward because, you know, Clay wasn't in a game. Draymond wasn't in a game. You know, Curry wasn't in a game. It wasn't full force versus full force.
Yeah, and Michael, it wasn't just bad for the Suns and their big guns. How about the first half? Paul, Booker, and Ayton combined 1-for-15 from the floor in the first half. They're going to make excuses.
I thought
I was watching
a Sixer game.
It was
how badly they were shooting.
But
I thought I was watching a Sixer game.
It was completely embarrassing. And in the two games, and we'll get to Boston in a second, the two winning teams had very implicit focuses, and that was to space out the team. So, for example, you saw what happened with the Mavs. They spaced out the Suns and attempted, 39 three-pointers and hit 19, so over 48%. That was the key. Every time you thought maybe it's an 8-point game there in the first, all of a sudden the Mavs hit another big three. And the Mavs defense, and you nailed it with Bullock and Finney-Smith, those two forwards kind of anchor the D. The defense, they're in the right position at every second. And Jason Kidd's got these dudes fired up and motivated.
No doubt. And I mean, they did a great job adjusting. That, you know, they shifted the, and they shifted how they trapped Booker, which really messed Booker up. And then on offensively, every action was dictated to getting Chris Paul into pick and roll. I mean, that's just what it is. Yeah. I mean, that's what they did. Every action they created was to get him into pick and roll and make him have to defend somebody. And I think that's, you know, and then Brunson, who they're going to have to play in Dallas. I mean, you know, Dallas is going to have to – Brunson was sensational. He was absolutely sensational in the game. He continues to be. And, you know, the way they're going to use him defensively going into the Warrior game, how they're going to try to match him up, again, we'll see what they can do. But we've said this all year about Dallas. We've said their defense was really the key to their season. We talked about Boston's defense being the key to their season. You know, and they're the two teams. We've got the Final Four in the NBA, and defense is the moniker that really gets you there.
It's a great point. And you mentioned the Suns being held to 27 points in the first half. Obviously, the storyline there is Luka had 27, so he equaled the output from the Suns in the first half. How about this? 84 total points scored in the first half, Suns-Mavs. A 71-point fourth quarter, as you mentioned before, took it over the total. I mean, it didn't clear the total by much, but that's why betting on the NBA is it's so difficult. You got to get in game with it. But
you knew when it was a 40-point lead going into the fourth, you knew it was going to become an exhibition.
It was
game.
Wide open,
and
yeah.
So there was a chance. There was no chance you were going to that you were. I mean, obviously Dallas was not going to lose, but there was no chance. There was no chance you were going to lose getting the 6.5. However, there was the overplay was in jeopardy, and it was the right play. I mean, it just the game. Had that been a 20-point game, it would have never gone over. A 40-point game got it over.
How do you justify the performance? Game 7, home wood. Listless, not even like Chris Paul didn't make a shot until the third. Booker didn't make a shot until the third.
I don't know how the NBA justifies game sevens having two bad game sevens. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's hard to understand. Like, this is supposed to be what we love about sports. Meanwhile, the Rangers game seven was delicious. I mean, it was perfect, right?
Yeah, it was
everybody loved it.
Late night.
You know, come back from 3-1 and to win that and to do that. And, you know, there's something wrong. I don't get it. This is not what I was used to seeing in the NBA. You're used to – game seven was something important, mattered. Boy, yesterday, I'd be interested to see what the reason I asked when you turned it off, because obviously a lot of people like myself, I mean, I stayed through the third because what else was going to do, right?
Yeah.
But I would have – halftime, I knew it was over.
Well, do you want to take a stab? We've got Game 1 Mavs-Warriors coming up on Wednesday. I'll get to that number. Do you want to take a stab on the Mavs-Warriors series price? Obviously, the Warriors are favored. What would you like to put the number at?
I probably would say they're 250.
You know what? Good guess, because I know this will surprise you. Will Hill and I were texting about this, and I said $190 to $2. He said $2. You said $250. We're in the middle. It's 220, 230 Warriors favoritism. So the Mavericks coming back the other way, plus 190 if you like them.
If you like them. I mean, and look, they're going to adjust and give Jason Kidd, who took a lot of crap in Milwaukee, which we need to talk about that game, you know, for his coaching, really did a hell of a job.
I want you to think what the Celtics Heat series price is. We'll come out of the break with that and talk about the Bucks Celtics next here at Lombardi Line on a Monday.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. All your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. And if you're in town here, stop by any MGM casino on the strip, bring your Nevada ID, and you're ready to bet within minutes. So whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love it. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. As we got you back here on the Lombardi Line, I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. We're having some connectivity issues, so we'll get to him coming up in just a second. Speaking of coming up, so tomorrow we're going to open the Eastern Conference Finals down in Miami. I don't know if it's a letdown. I wouldn't call it a letdown spot as far as a viewer, but it does feel like we just had the Eastern Conference Finals yesterday, didn't it? That Game 7 with the Bucks and Celtics. Okay, we do have Michael, and I want to ask you, pretty good guess on the Western Conference Finals. Eastern Conference Finals series price. Obviously, the Celtics are favored. You want to take a stab at the number?
I'd say 185.
Tremendous guess. 175 on the Celtics. The Heat are coming back the other way, plus 155. When we were just reconnecting with you, I'm not taking a shot at your Heat. I'm just saying it does feel like we just had the Eastern Conference Finals with the Bucks and the Celtics. No,
I think we did. Although I think what we learned, and I think this is really important for all of us, me included, to understand is a seven game series is a test of endurance as much as it is a test of who's the better team, right? When you run a 40-yard dash in football, most people think it's a test of speed. It is to a degree, but it's also a test of conditioning, how well you're in shape. You know, you don't run a fast 40 time. Typically, most athletes don't if you're not in good shape. It kind of, you wear, you pull, all that. And I think that's a little bit like the seven-game series. It tells you who is the better team, but I think what I learned watching, and I'm disappointed to have taken Milwaukee yesterday, was they were out of gas. It was clear. It was obvious that, you know, when they came back and they stole that game five from Boston, they had nothing in the tank. And they had nothing in game six in the tank, and they had nothing in game seven in the tank. And I let a kind of a stolen win kind of dissuade me from sticking with the team that clearly was the better team. Because Middleton didn't play and they had no other role player. And, oh, by the way, Coach Bud, I don't know why he kept playing Grayson Hill. At some point, when do you bench him? And just, there had to be somebody on the bench better than him. Seriously, there had to be.
Well, first off, 100%, 109-81, Boston Celtics advance, beat the Bucks yesterday in Game 7 there in Boston. But they had a game plan was obviously concerted for the Bucks. It was to protect the paint, spread them out, let them shoot threes, which they shot a record amount of threes. But if you had Grant Williams making seven and attempting 18 of them as a handicapper, I tip my cap because who saw a 27 point? Grant Williams came into the league unable to shoot a three, like Ben Simmons-like, and he had seven of 18 yesterday, 27.6 boards, a really good defensive job as well. He was helping on Giannis. Williams all of a sudden becomes a hero for the Celtics, which is a very deep team.
Well, I mean, here's what they did. Here's what simply happened, right? They cheated Lopez on someone else and encouraged Williams to shoot. They encouraged
him. They left him wide open.
I mean, he was cheating on everybody else but him, and then they never adjusted to it. He kept convincing him he could make it, and they never adjusted to it. So, I just thought Giannis was gassed, didn't you? I just thought he had that was it for him. He had nothing left, and the role players didn't play well. And we said before the game, somebody's role players have to go. I would have never bet Grant Williams would have done that. No chance.
Come on. Well, think about this. generally what goes first, you always talk about it in football, is the legs, right? Wide receivers, running backs, obviously your trunk, your legs go first. Well, if that's indicative of what happened with the Bucs, they were 4 of 33 from 3. Generally, you're going to come up short with tired or fatigued legs. They shot 12% from 3. 4 of 33. Yeah. That for a team, and that's exactly, I mean, for a team that needed, Connaughton couldn't hit a shot. Obviously, they missed Middleton in the postseason in the half-court setup. But 4 of 33, you're not going to beat anybody, specifically when, you know, the Celtics attempted 55 and hit 22 of them, so they knocked down 40% of their threes.
You know, they signed George Hill as a free agent. You know, the Sixers did it last year. Like, he was going to give them some juice. You know, at some point, you have to stop kidding yourself that you signed this veteran guy that he has nothing left in the tank either. He played 11 minutes and was couldn't do anything. You know, and they just, to me, they ran out of gas. They really ran out of any chance they had to make a play. And they look exhausted. They really did. And I think for basketball fans, for us moving forward, it's good to get Milwaukee out of it because they're exhausted. They had nothing in the tank. They had to go another series. There's nothing they would have done. Like, he didn't even play Serge Ibaka. Whatever happened to Serge? Where did he go? Like, I thought that was a good piece for them to get. I missed that one.
And they moved on from DiVincenzo, who – they could have used the extra player from the wing there. The only reprieve, the Bucks, if they got by the Celtics, the only reprieve was they were going to get Middleton back. You're right. And maybe not even 100%. So to be fair, yeah, they were gassed. They were gassed. And, you know, the Grayson Allen experiment has got to come to an end. He was terrible.
Oh, my God. That poor guy. I mean, I actually, his confidence, he couldn't even make a free throw. He's 0 for 6 from the field. He took three-pointers. I mean, Holiday didn't make a three-pointer the whole day. I mean, Holiday was trying. 21 shots he was trying. There's just nothing left. I mean, Giannis got 26 shots up and couldn't couldn't do much. And his first quarter was his best quarter, right? We saw that. That's when he had enough gas in the tank, and then it just dissipated all away. It was, to me, you know, Milwaukee are certainly a great effort, a champion's heart, but they just didn't have enough pieces to really close it out to contend. And again, we get another game 7 that was absolutely, you know, by the end of the third, this was over and you knew it.
You know, what's interesting about that is what they win by 28 points, and the Bucks early on had an 8-point lead in that first quarter. Yeah. Bucks came out you kind of nailed it. The Bucks came out well, and then just that battery started to empty as the game progressed, and that depth of Boston, really. I mean, the idea that Grant Williams is taking 18, that might be the biggest story of the postseason. Grant Williams attempted 18 three-pointers.
The fact that he was willing to do it, right? Most guys in big pressure games aren't willing to take that shot. And I think what Coach Bud was figuring out, like, he'll never take the shot. He'll be too scared. He'll pass it. And he didn't. And then he started making them, and he got some confidence. I mean, he had 22 shot attempts in the game, which meant he only had 4 other shots inside the three-point line. I mean, and so they were challenging him, figuring in a game 7, it's going to be way too important. He'll never take those shots. He'll never take them. And everybody else in the game, you know, Tatum made 5, but everybody else in the game didn't shoot well from the three-point line. He did, and that was the difference. We said some role player was going to have to play well. He was the guy.
So here is BetMGM, some future liability. They have our buddy John Ewing sent it over. Somebody bet $125K to win $450K on the Warriors at plus 360 to win a championship. Obviously, that was a while ago because the Warriors right now, Michael, are your favorites at plus 120 to win a championship. The Celtics are plus 220. The Heat are 4-1. And the Mavs are 7-1. Somebody bet $44,000 on the Heat to win a championship at 11-1. So that's $44,000 to win $484,000. Somebody bet $20,000 on the Celtics at 5-1. That's not bad. You know, $20,000 to win $100,000.
We were talking back in January or February about the Celtics. What, they were 14-1. Remember that number there?
Yeah,
we
absolutely
were saying, and when they started getting going in January after the holiday, after the New Year's, and they were playing well. And we were talking about them being really a good bet, and here they are.
Well,
you know, here they are.
But, I mean, and you, I think you might have been on them a little bit earlier than most, but they didn't start poorly. The Celtics started the season horrendously, and specifically on offense. It says this coach must have something, right? Because even their half-court sets were kind of creative. I liked what he did. You mentioned the confidence to let Williams continue to shoot tells you that Udoka has, like, a feel for his team. The defense was consistently there, but for them to come around this much offensively, they might have something with this coach because his rotations are sharp, too.
I mean, and defensively, whatever he did defensively, they upped their game. And remember now, they're not playing Robert Williams. You know, they aren't playing Robert
Williams.
Was
he healthy? I was trying to figure out, could he have played yesterday if they needed him?
They said he could have. I mean, they only gave Theus 8 minutes, so it wasn't like they needed it. But the way Lopez was, I mean, Lopez couldn't make a shot. Lopez is typically a decent three-point shooter. He couldn't make one. I mean, he gave him 50. Lopez was giving them that role player that they needed. He just couldn't make a shot from out in the three-point line. That was the killer. And they couldn't make one. I mean, look, they shot, as you said, they shot 12% from the three-point line. You're not beating anybody. Connaughton was 0 for 5.
That's reminiscent of the Rockets. Remember the Rockets against the Warriors when the Rockets were like 2 of 27 from three? I mean, they couldn't hit a three.
Oh, I've seen these 12%ers. I'm a Sixer fan. I've seen this before. I've seen bricks. I mean, there was some bricklaying going on in both those games. Trust me now. For an elite level of play, there was a lot of bricklaying going on.
I believe the quote was from Maury, "We're excited to see if Doc can unlock Harden." So that's exciting.
Unlock, yeah.
Yeah. We're coming back with Thomas Gable next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, springtime, allergies in the air. But at VSiN, we've got the spring special. Now through July 31st for $59. If you go to VSiN.com/spring, you get everything we offer, again, through all of July. So you get Adam Burke's Daily, Major League Baseball Best Bets, JVT throughout the postseason here with the NBA, Andy McNeil with the Stanley Cup Playoffs, plus NFL preseason coverage. We've got UFC, golf, USFL, NASCAR, everything. And then also included, you get Point Spread Weekly every Wednesday. So it's a tremendous deal. $59, VSiN.com/spring. Got you back here. Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas. We head out to Atlantic City and say hi to our buddy Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata. Hi, Thomas. I hope you're doing well on this Monday. You had a couple blowouts on the wood yesterday. How'd that turn out for the book?
The NBA, we had a decent day. Anytime one of the favorites can go down like that, it's normally you get a decent result. So that the Suns losing, didn't have to lose that bad, but them losing was a good result for us. And we did take a little bit of a loss, though, in the Boston game. But the NHL is what killed us yesterday with the two favorites winning and with the Rangers. I think the only thing that helped was they didn't cover the puck line in that one. But so overall, not a good day. But the NBA was probably better than most markets for us.
Hey, Thomas, just so for my own curiosity, at the book yesterday, the Ranger game was at 7:30, and I think the Mavericks game started at 8 our time. What did you have on the big screen?
We actually split the big screen between both, so we had the sound on the Rangers game because that's what the majority of the people I think wanted to see who were here for it.
Why would a better lay a puck and a half? Like, why would they lay the puck line when you can get a $1.25, $1.30 on the Rangers? Like, what? Can you help me understand, Thomas, laying a goal and a half in a postseason game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just strictly they wanted that plus money. I mean, it was plus 185, I think, to lay the puck and a half. So I think that's what they were looking for.
Yeah, that's fair. But crazy overtime. Late night, we had overtime in Calgary as well. Dallas jumped out to a 1-0 lead there. Calgary came all the way back. Odinger was unbelievable between the pipes for Dallas. I was watching that game late night. I mean, listen, to be fair, Michael and Thomas, the hockey has been exhilarating and the basketball has been confounding, right, Thomas? I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
The blowouts have been confounding.
Yeah, the NHL playoffs have been so much better to watch than the NBA at this point. And, you know, hopefully these two series that that'll get underway here for the NBA and the conference finals that we'll have some better games than what we saw in round two.
Yeah, you would hope
so. Yeah, we hope so. We hope. I mean, it is the finals. I mean, we're hoping to get to at least where the Eastern and Western finals, where we're going to get some competitive games. And both teams, I think, you know, the Golden State's the one that they play so sloppily at times that, you know, they could be as good as they want and they can be as bad as they want the way they turn the ball over. Whereas I think both Miami and Boston are rooted with their defense. They're tough teams. And it's just going to come down to which one shoots the best to me in that series.
Let me ask Thomas. I totally agree with what Michael just said. You could either say the Warriors have played awful and they're lucky to be here in the Western Conference Finals, or they played awful yet they're here, so that's a bonus, right, Thomas? Because they haven't played very well, the Warriors, to get to this point.
Not in the last series, no, that's for sure. And I think they were very fortunate to get by Memphis there in the last series. They really were. But, you know, again, are they rightfully favored here? Yes, they are. Now, I think you're definitely going to see a lot of interest on the Mavs from bettors. The question, I think, for the Warriors, who do you put on Luka at this point? You can't put Draymond on Luka. He's going to be out of the game in no time flat. If you put, you know, he'll rack up fouls.
Totally.
There's no tomorrow. So you can't put Draymond on Luka. So I don't know if it's going to be Wiggins or who they're going to put on Luka. But the Mavs just, I mean, they're playing so well right now. And I think you're going to see a lot of interest in the betting market on the Mavs.
I think so, too. I mean, the Mavs are just a team that, you know, they're down 0-2 to the best team in basketball, team that won 64 games, and they win four of the next five games. I mean, so, yeah, it's pretty impressive when you look at it that way. And their defense has been consistent all year long, and they took it up a notch defensively against the Phoenix Suns, neutralized all the things they wanted to do. And so I could see how there's certainly an allure to it. And this Luka, like we said yesterday, Thomas, the game's not too big for him. He's having fun out there, and he's getting better and better. I mean, it's kind of – he's not that dazzling athlete that, you know, plays above the rim, but, man, he plays really good with the rim.
Yeah, and he is a competitor, and he's somebody who's going to rise to the occasion. Doesn't matter how big the stage is, you know, he's going to rise, and he welcomes that challenge.
What are your series prices? Give me both conferences here, Thomas.
So Celtics right now are favored in the East, $1.65, and the Heat are favored though, game one there in Miami. So you're going to see basically, you know, wherever the game is being played at, you'll see probably the home team favored more than likely. And then out west there, the Warriors are -225 on the series price right now, and they are 5-point favorites for game one.
5-point favorites game one. Okay, that's coming up on Wednesday night. Thoughts tomorrow? I mean, it makes sense. The Heat, I'm guessing point and a half there at the Borgata because of the turnaround for the Celtics. I think you're going to get Celtic money, to be fair. Do you have an overview on this series?
Yeah, I do. I think you will see some Boston money, especially where we're at here in the Northeast. The Heat, like you said, they're -1.5 for tomorrow night. But this is going to be a very defensive-minded series. You're going to see lower-scoring games, games reminiscent of maybe the NBA in the 90s, in the late 90s. So, you know, the thing that the Heat will do that the Bucks did not is going to be defend the three-point line much better on the perimeter than Milwaukee did. You know, the Celtics, they made so many three-pointers, and that's the reason why they're here and the Bucks aren't. But the Heat will defend that perimeter much better than what Milwaukee did.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, 204, Patrick. How about that for the post total? I mean,
well, it's
are the Pistons playing the Bulls here? I mean,
is this Knicks Heat? All kidding aside, it really, and not to belabor the issues, Michael, that they have, but when you have a regular season, I don't know, this game's probably set at 225-ish. When it's 204, I mean, it's just saying teams are actually trying on defense. That's the difference in differential as far as the point total and the over under. So
it's an issue. I mean, we've seen unders cash at a ridiculous rate, Thomas, here in the postseason. I would expect by the time that this series with the Celtics and Heat is done, the balance will be on the under as well.
Oh, sure. I think definitely. And, you know, yesterday, for the late game there, the Suns game obviously got over, and you're probably questioning how that happened with what the Suns
71 points in the fourth?
Yeah.
71.
Yeah. It was a wreck game.
It was a wreck game down at 34th Street in the fourth quarter. That's what it became.
It was a joke. It was a joke.
Exactly.
There was 84 points scored, so we were on track to score 170, and they end up scoring over 220 because, late, as Michael said, it was a wreck game in the fourth. I mean, it was actually quite entertaining because they were going up and down the court. But how about quickly your thoughts on just Paul? Looks like Ayton's going to move on. You know, Paul, they just signed to an extension. What are your thoughts on him moving forward here, Thomas?
I really want to know what the story is with him at this point. He's just – something happened there. We don't know what the story is with him, but hopefully it comes out what was going on with him. And, Phoenix will probably, attempt to run it back. And, they're a good team, no doubt about it. Just – you have to question what was going on there in the last couple of games with them. But real quick, though, on if you were for that Celtics-Bucks game yesterday, first half line, just my condolences, if you had the Bucks plus 2.5 on the first half line with that ridiculous goal at the end of the first half where they award three shots, the Smart for that foul, it was just insane.
And you had Grant Williams attempting 18 three-pointers, right, Thomas?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I thought would happen.
I mean, it's just like the NBA is weird, man. It's a full league of gummies. You know what I mean? It's just like tripping out all over the place. Thomas, great job, man. Director of the Racing Sportsbook there at the Borgata. Feel better. Have a great week, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, TG.
All right,
appreciate
thanks, guys.
You.
Enjoy.
Unbelievable. You know who has an opinion about Chris Paul and his lack of success in the postseason? Will Hill.
Yeah,
and
we go.
Will Hill, general manager, schedule maker, better. He joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Bet $10 to win $200. Of course, anybody hits a home run today, you're going to win $200 if you're a new bettor. It's going to happen, so you might as well use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200, and swing for the fences. It's on us over at BetMGM. Again, VSIN200, you got to be 21 years or older, and if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Lombardi Line.
Swing for the fences, Patrick.
What's that? I mean,
really, what are you holding it back for?
What are you holding back? Well, if not now, you should swing. You should swing now. If not now, when? Right? Swing for
do
the
we
fences.
We have the Preakness this weekend coming up.
We do. We have a very, I would say, letdown would be an operative word. I would say a very unfulfilling for most people as far as because if you don't have the underdog carrying over 2 weeks later to run in the Preakness, you don't really have a presentation because the other horses that are running Epicenter, and you know, these aren't horses that necessarily anybody can attach themselves to. So most people are casual like you, casual horse racing fans. And if you don't have the story, you're not going to be involved.
Yeah.
So that's it. And I know okay. Will Hill's not going to be involved. He joins us now.
He's probably organized. I like Will Hill's commentary on Drew Brees' tweet last night. Has he notified you about his decision at NBC? Have you two talked? I mean, I know you're intimately involved with the scheduling and all that stuff that goes on. Has Brees reached out to you? Maybe be on the New York City pod to discuss his tweet that he sent out last night?
That's his first stop? The NY City pod? That's awesome. Good get, Will.
I don't know that I would have him on if you heard him on NBC. He really didn't have a whole lot to say. Now, I'm surprised because, you know, a big name like that, usually you give him more than a year or so. I don't know if he didn't want to do it anymore. He mentioned playing again. I think he was just kidding about that, but that was that's pretty interesting. He's out after 1 year. He was doing playoff games last year.
So hold your opinion, Michael, because I want to ask you about that at the top of the hour. Hold your opinion on Brees because I've got a whole thing planned for you at the top. If you do get him on the New York City cast, though, it's a must listen. Although, as you said, Brees literally was wallpaper. He said nothing.
I want somebody that's going to say something. You know, I just booked Mike Westhoff. Just talked to him for like 20 minutes. He is going to be great. So
special
that's coming
talk.
The next week or two.
Special teams talk.
Well, he's got a lot to say about everything and everyone. He's going to be good. He's really good.
You know what I think's happened so much is people are so afraid to criticize. I mean, look at Chris Paul, how people are why are people being so hard on Chris Paul? It's not fair. Like, you know, it's not being critical. It's just trying to explain the game to people and trying to understand what's going on. Instead, we get cheated. We as a betting network gets cheating as well because we need this intel to help us. And unfortunately, in basketball and in football, we're not getting that detailed analysis that we need. And certainly Brees wasn't giving it to us.
Well, let's get Will Hill's take on Chris Paul. It appears that Luka buried Paul, Ayton, and Booker all at once yesterday, Will.
He settled all family business.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's about one of the more stunning results. Look, we've all been watching sports a long time. To turn on the TV, if you're someone who turned it on an hour and a half into the game and you see it's 62-27 at one point, 65-27, this is the one seed at home, a team that's won 64 games. They're down by 45 points in their old building. It's really kind of shocking. I know Paul leaked after the game, too. I think it was Haynes that, oh, by the way, he's got a beat up, you know, quad or whatever. He always seems to be hurt. It's always, you know, something with him. Just a stunning result. I don't know. Maybe this is good for the NBA because, you know, the NBA, it's not usually a Cinderella league. Usually it's the one or the two seed getting to the finals, winning championships. Look at the Mavericks and the Celtics, both 500 teams on January 1st. So maybe that's a good thing for the league. It hasn't been a great 4 or 5 days for the league. I mean, there was that classic Bucks-Celtics, what was it, game 5 Wednesday night. Since then, Thursday, the games were bad. Friday, the games were bad. Saturday, we didn't have any games. And then yesterday, it was kind of a dud. You know, we had to wait a while for the first game to start. There's a big gap between games 1 and 2, and game 2 ended up being a dud. So not a great day for the NBA. And if you just look, if you're a casual fan comparing the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, NHL, everything's exciting. Game 7s, overtimes. The NBA was kind of a bore this weekend.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no denying it. I mean, you know, one thing about the NFL, we can complain about, you know, this team playing that team on Thursday night. We usually get a good game. I mean, it's always competitive. It comes down to a field goal or it comes down to a 4-point. There's always a chance to win the game. And this, you know, at what point did you turn off the Suns Mavericks game, Will?
I watched till the last second. I watched Aaron Holiday hit a three with 8 seconds left, steal the ball, and hit another three to cover some live line because I had the Mavs second half. And then it started a fight because Holiday, the rest of the teams just kind of quit. If anyone was watching that, like me, you got some serious issues. Find something better to do with your time. But I actually watched the entire thing. I had the Ranger game on too, so I had both TVs going. So
Boban wanted to kill Holiday at the end of that game. It was unbelievable. All right, we turn our attention to the Eastern Conference Finals. That being the Celtics at the Heat, you know, the number indicates a turnaround for the Celtics because, you know, open 2, although a little money coming in on the Celtics, it's 1.5 down in Miami. Overview on the series in game 1 there, Will Hill.
Celtics are probably the better team. I think they're the rightful favorite. Like you mentioned, this is a quick turnaround. I mean, they just went 12 rounds toe-to-toe with Giannis, with Milwaukee, the defending champ, at home for Game 7. And then, boom, what, 36, 48 hours later? I think, yeah, 48 hours later, you got to play in Miami, travel. Meanwhile, Miami's home. They're rested. So this is a good situation for Miami. So if you like Boston in the series, which I do, maybe just wait and see how Game 1 goes and maybe bet Boston, assuming Miami gets a 1-0 lead. Maybe just bet Miami in Game 1 here. But if Miami wins Game 1, this will probably be about a pick 'em either way. Then you can jump in on Boston. Like I said, I think Boston probably wins a longer series here. I think these games will be ugly. I think they'll be very defensive-oriented. I don't think anyone gives you anything cheap, anything easy in terms of half court. You know, you're going to have to get to the foul line. You're going to have to get points in transition. I would look at for a lot of unders here. I think that's pretty much built into the number here, 204. These games are going to be rock fights. I think these games will be close. I think Boston probably ultimately wins a longer series.
You know, it's funny, though. You said that Boston, you know, they went 12 rounds, there's no doubt. But they didn't look like they lacked any energy, whereas Milwaukee was exhausted, right? You know, and with the Heat only went six, and they played at a higher level in the six games, in games five and six, than obviously the 76ers did. So to me, you know, Boston, I know it sounds like they're, you know, they should be exhausted, but they did not look tired to me watching them play yesterday at all.
Yeah, you might be right. And again, we talked about it yesterday. These games, it's one of the things I don't really like about the NBA now. They just devolve into a three-point shootout. I mean, it's a glorified three-point contest. Boston hits 22 threes. Milwaukee hits four. Milwaukee shot, what, 4 of 33? And it somehow felt worse than that. These games really just turned into three-point shootouts. And I think Milwaukee just did a bad job with the back of the roster. I mean, the Grayson Allen minutes were a disaster. Wes Matthews is one of their best players. They signed him in the middle of the season, veteran minimum. You mentioned George Hill. The Milwaukee, I think they just did a bad job here. And obviously, no, Middleton was a big deal, but they did a bad job with the back end of this roster. Not a deep team at all.
Yeah, you're right. The Mavs played defense and created space on offense, and that's how they won. I mean, they took a million threes. Let's talk about the Mavs. You and I were wondering. I said 190-ish. I was way off. The series price is, you know, 220 to 230, somewhere in there, with the Warriors favored. Thoughts on the series? And Game 1 coming up on Wednesday, the Warriors are laying 5 hosting Dallas.
I would expect sharp money to come in on the Mavs. I'm seeing Mavs plus 200, Mavs plus the points. Who cards Luka for Golden State? I don't think Iguodala is going to play. I don't think Gary Payton Jr. is going to play. Klay, I don't think, can do it at this stage of his career. Curry's obviously not strong enough. That hasn't been a great matchup for Draymond Green. I like Dallas here. I think Luka has a chance to dominate this series. They defend so well. Some of the rotations last night, I mean, they just never slip up. Incredible. They never make a mistake. They never take a playoff. And the more incredible thing, they don't have the defensive personnel. They don't have that, you know, typical rim protector. Kleba, I think, is a criminally underrated player. They're just so well coached. Whoever coordinates that defense should get a head coaching job. Kid has really improved as a coach. I think, you know, we forget this sometimes. Players can improve, but coaches can improve too. I mean, I don't think he was great with the Nets or the Bucks, but he took time off. He went to the Lakers. I think he probably learned from his mistakes. He's done a hell of a job. I like Dallas in this series. I think both teams will probably play small. You know, Kleba and Draymond will probably be the two bigs. Other than that, it's going to be up-tempo, small ball, a million threes on both. Both these teams are just going to shoot three after three. But Curry hasn't looked great for Golden State. It's not 2015, 2016 Curry. He's been good, not great. You know, we know Golden State struggles turning the ball over. I think Dallas probably wins this in six. I like Dallas plus the 200 here.
Wow.
Dallas. Oh, yeah, you, I like them on the series. I like that, Will.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, I mean, look, I love Dallas too. I just hope that Luka continues to play pick and roll. And, you know, the one thing about the Warriors, though, they have that mentality that even when they play sloppy and look bad, they find a way to close it out and win a game like they did Memphis. I mean, they had that game was nip and tuck all the way through, and yet somehow they ended up blowing them out in the last 5 minutes. So, but Dallas's mental toughness, I think, is there as well. I think Dallas was impressive in that series.
What stands out about Luka is he's big boned. He is so thick and
strong.
Just so strong. He's 23 years old. He's not even, he doesn't even have dad strength yet. Like Will running around with those kids over there. Okay, buddy. So you've got the New York City cast over at VSiN.com/podcast. Again, give us a plug there. What do you got coming up?
Yeah, Westhoff coming up soon. That's going to be great. Mike Palm, the mayor, is making his debut this week. So VSiN.com/podcast. Check it out.
There you go. Lucky love you.
It. Mike Palm.
Lucky you.
I love it.
Yep. Okay. There he is. Will.
You better duck. You better duck. There'll be something happening. There'll be some chairs flying across the room.
He'll be on your own show taking shots at you. That'll be interesting. Enjoy it, Will. Thank you, buddy. Have a good Monday.
Okay. Thanks, Will.
Thank you very much, Will. We good tease on Michael's part about Drew Brees. He left the door wide open. We'll discuss coming up next here at Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.